U.S. House are now making efforts to try to get them from the U.S. Treasury. Inflation rose 0.4% in March, and it's up 1.9% over March of last year. The month-to-month increase is right on analysts' predictions, but year-to-year, that's up more than anticipated. The so-called core CPI, which leaves out food and energy prices, well, that was up 0.1% from February to March and up 2% from a year ago. Those figures are below what the experts had predicted. And an American Airlines flight attendant still has a job despite spilling drinks on the CEO of the airline. Matty Peters and the rest of the crew were warned last week that CEO Doug Parker would be joining them on a flight from Phoenix to Dallas. The 28-year-old Peters says she was offering beverages in first class when someone in the aisle bumped into her and sent her tray flying, spilling drinks all over Parker. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Good morning, this is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Honorton Chamber Radio. Today for the weather, we've got a high of 61 and mostly sunny. Tonight turning partly cloudy, low of 35. Tomorrow we've got a high of 59 and partly sunny again. Thursday night, mostly cloudy again with a low of 41. And then for Friday, partly sunny and a slight chance of showers with a high of 65. And then showers likely Friday night, low of 55. The weekend, again, looks like showers likely and then partly sunny with a high of 72.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Honorton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@honorton-chamber.org.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith on Happy to Help on Honorton Chamber Radio. It's a show about volunteerism, donations, foundations, all kinds of good people doing good things in the world, and hopefully will inspire you to get out there and do some good too. And I want to just give a quick shout out. Yesterday we had the 10th Annual Women's Leadership Summit at the Hawk Point Golf Club in Washington, and it was amazing. We had a sold-out event. We had over 100 women. We had workshops on LinkedIn. We had a speaker from Cisco, and it was just a tremendous event. Check out Honorton Chamber or the Happy to Help page to see some photos of the event and mark your calendar for next year because you don't want to miss it. It's always a good time. And then we're also going to have to be announced a speaker and an event in the fall in September for Back to Business to coordinate with Back to School. So look for that. And today I am very excited to welcome Danielle Glido. She is the founder of OneSimpleWish.org based in Trenton, New Jersey. She's a social entrepreneur. She's a CNN hero from 2013. She's been on CNN, NBC, GMA. I'm just honored to have her here on Happy to Help. Welcome, Danielle.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
I'm not sure if it's working. Try that. Try that. Okay. There we go. No. Okay. Try the four again. Sorry.
Hello.
Okay. There you go. Just get closer.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Technical difficulties. We've always got these challenges here. So can you tell people just a little bit about what inspired you to start One Simple Wish and a little bit about the organization?
Sure. So One Simple Wish is closer. Good.
There.
Okay. So One Simple Wish is an organization I founded 10 years ago. We're in our 10th year now. It's been an amazing journey. And I founded it after becoming a foster parent, shortly after I got married. My husband and I were married in 2005, and shortly after that, we decided we wanted to start a family. And we were talking about this before we started, but I was kind of like, ugh, I don't want to be pregnant. And strange, no reason for it other than just I didn't want to, so we decided we wanted to adopt and started looking at all of our options. And like most people, I think I didn't know much about foster care. I hadn't really heard too much about what the system was or people from adopting from it. So it did come up as one of our options, but it certainly wasn't kind of front and center. But after we did a bunch of research on international adoption, private, open, we decided we wanted to go with becoming foster parents with a goal of adopting. So there's a program in New Jersey called Foster Adopt, which we signed up for. You know, so you do home study, caseworker visits, lots of background checks. They talk to your neighbors. It's, you know, pretty thorough process. And you can you know, give them sort of some parameters around, you know, the age of the child, some of the special needs that you feel you can handle. And we were pretty open. We just wanted a child under five because we were a little, you know, younger at the time and didn't know that we could handle a child any older.
Or a teenager right off the bat.
Right. I mean, we kind of were still growing up very much ourselves. And so, you know, we wanted to be able to, we wanted to be the best parents we could be and know our, and I think it's important, like know your limits. So we decided, to go forward with it. And it took a little bit, about a year to get through that process. Well, when we became foster parents, the first child who came to us came a little later in the evening. He was just wearing like a onesie and this like oversized winter coat. A transport worker, like not a regular worker, handed us a bag and the child, and he was 18 months old, and they just said, you know, okay, we'll be in touch like tomorrow with more details. But all we really knew was that he had been removed from his home, his parents had been incarcerated that night, his older brother had gone to a hospital for evaluation on suspicion of abuse, and there was, I believe, another sibling as well who had gone with a family member, but no one could take him. And so, you know, that was it. You know, so this little boy walks in. He looks completely scared. He doesn't have much of his own things with him. At the time, we had an English bulldog who was a few years old. I don't think he had a dog, so we kind of didn't know what to make of the dog. He didn't really speak either. So, you know, here we are like, hi, we're Danielle and Joe. And you know, this is our, and, you know, you're so excited and trying to make this little child comfortable. And he's like, who are you, strange people? You know, mm-hmm. So it was really a shock to us how this child was just dropped off. I mean, the transport worker.
Oh, sorry. Okay, just hold. Oh my gosh, it's always an adventure. It's just hold it for now till the break of it. Okay, sorry. I don't know. The microphone had a
wow,
yeah. Just
gonna...
there we go.
There we go.
It's always an adventure.
Good
here.
Good morning. So, am I still good?
Yeah.
All right, good. So, anyway, he ended up staying with us for a couple of months. And in that time, we, you know, of course, grew very attached, fell in love with this little boy. But we knew kind of early on, like, it wasn't going to be a forever placement. His mother had gotten out of jail. She was working on getting him back. And he had a lot of family, extended family that came to the visits and was, you know, really there for him. So it was hard for us, but at the same time, we felt like we're doing our part, and that felt good. Mm-hmm. And we were happy to do it. He was safe. He was loved. He did everything with us that, you know, you would do with your natural born children. So after he left, we had another child placed with us named Antonio. And I really think it was Antonio who kind of planted this seed in me that I wanted to make sure that we always did something for children in foster care. He came to us in a similar way, just, you know, random phone call late in the day. Can we take this little boy? He was being removed from his home. There was no furniture in the house. He didn't have clothing. There wasn't food in the home. The family had been under investigation for quite some time. And the mother was pregnant again, tested positive for drugs. And so they were putting her into a rehab facility and removing the children, which was Antonio and his sister. His sister went to a family member, but they wouldn't take him. So we took him. He was 2 years old. He didn't talk. He barely walked. He had these round sort of markings all over his torso, which we thought at the time, you know, might be like some kind of old scars or something. Mm-hmm. He also had, his head was shaved and his skin was really dry. And we, you know, we didn't know much about anything really medical. So anyway, the caseworkers told us he needed to go get a CT scan of his head because it had been something they had asked the mother to do a year earlier. And so we took him to the hospital, and while we were there, the nurse came over to me, and she said, this kid has ringworm. And I was like, what? And she's like, that's what's on your neck. And I had gotten this little rash and had no clue what it was.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? So we had ringworm. Joe got it. The kid had it. The dog got it. Oh, our best friends got it. And it was all over our house.
Because it's pretty contagious,
it's
right?
It's super contagious. Yeah. But we had no idea what it looked like.
Yeah.
So it was awful. But this little boy was like, when I say just stole our hearts, man, he was the coolest kid. We called him Tone, and we taught him how to speak because he was kind of just grunted. He used to shove food in his mouth at this, like, crazy pace that he would throw up.
Because he didn't know he'd get his next meal, right?
Right. Yeah. So he's very used to kind of not eating, and so when you gave him a plate of food, which we didn't know at first, he was just gorging.
Ugh.
So we got him to a place where he was, like, just this chill, normal two-year-old. We fell in love with him. Things seemed to be going in the direction of us being able to adopt him because there were still so many issues and going on with his biological mom, and there was no father that was at least involved in the case. And we advocated for him like crazy. He did have trouble in preschool. He bit lots of kids. Because he had trouble communicating. Yeah. So he was a biter. So I tell you all this because we totally fell in love with this little boy, and it was really just kind of an out-of-the-blue call one day from the caseworker saying that the judge decided at the last hearing they're going to reunify. And we wrote letters to the court, said give him more time. We're not about breaking up a family. But this had only been about 4 months, and she had only been clean for about 30 days. And we felt like, let's give him a better chance. They said no. And so they planned a day to pick him up. And when they did that, they told us, it's going to be this particular day. And we packed him all up. I remember he used to like to put on my shoes. So we were sitting in my closet, and he was putting on my shoes. And I said to him, I don't know that you're ever going to remember this, but I want you to remember my voice if you can. And I want you to know that somebody always loves you. And we've loved having you, and you will always be in my heart. And, maybe someday if you're having a tough time, you'll kind of hear me in your head. And I just remember him looking at me and doing Deal or No Deal. I don't know if you remember that show with Howie Mandel, but he loved it. So he just looked at me and was like, Deal? No Deal. And I was like, okay, so Deal. He was a very cool kid. And so they didn't show up to pick him up the next day. No one showed up. No one called us. So it was a couple days later, and we were sitting there like, okay, this is heartbreaking. They made another appointment. They canceled it. We know this kid's leaving. We are devastated. And now it's like, well, they can't kind of get it together. So finally we called him. We said, listen, like, this is crushing us. You need to come and get him. It needs to be tomorrow. Like, we keep saying goodbye. We've packed him up. This isn't fair to him.
Right.
So they ended up coming and getting him, and we took a little bit of a break from fostering. We actually had a newborn for about a day or two, but they told me very quickly, like, well, no, we have a father, so he's going to go there. And I said, I can't go through this again. So they picked the baby up. And then we said, let's take a break. But at that point, we had, become parents now. Mm-hmm. And your mom, mm-hmm. right? You're like, that love is, you can't describe it. I don't think you can describe it to someone who's never felt it. Mm-hmm. But we just had this hole in our lives now. We were parents, and we wanted to be parents. And so we decided, well, all right, fine. I threw my sort of ickiness out the window and said, well, we'll give it a shot. I'll try to get pregnant. And then that's not working out. Mm-hmm. So now I'm, taking pregnancy tests after pregnancy tests. They're negative. And I remember calling my mom and saying, I don't get it. Like, I finally feel like this is, like, being a mom feels so like this is what I'm supposed to do. And I can't get pregnant. I can't adopt. Like, what's wrong? And, she's like, hang in there. It's going to happen. And so my husband and I were away for the weekend. It was our wedding anniversary, and came home to a phone call from a friend that we had taken our foster parent training classes with. And she said, a caseworker just called me about a newborn baby, and they wanted to place her with us. But I told them, we're full. We already have two babies, to call you. Mm-hmm. And so I get this phone call from another strange caseworker saying, I have a baby girl, 3 days old, coming home from the hospital. What do you think? And I said, yes, but I have to, like, convince my husband. So I go home and convince him, let's take her, let's give it a shot. And so that was the day we met Mia. So the caseworker walked in, he hands me a newborn baby and says, this is the baby. And I said, what's her name? And he was like, I don't know. Name her whatever you want. It was so bizarre.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm totally like going off track. But the long story short is we ended up having Mia place with us. 2 weeks later, I found out I was pregnant with my daughter, Liliana.
Wow.
So very quickly had this family, but didn't want to. I couldn't get that the images out of my head of the children coming to us with next to nothing. And then all of the challenges that we faced, and we're people with lots of resources, in getting these kids what they needed, whether that was, you know, sensory toys, which, of course, we kind of stepped in and were able to do everything. But at the time, I also was volunteering at a group home, and I saw there's all these older kids as well who are asking for things, and there's, like, no warrior sort of me and Joe stepping in and making sure all their needs are being met. So I decided when I was on maternity leave, I had been working in marketing for about 10 years, doing interactive marketing for an agency. And mostly what I did was build loyalty programs, online loyalty programs that allowed, and I worked for Botox and Juvederm. So it's like, it couldn't be any further off from what I
love
do.
It.
Right? So our goal was, you know, get people to use more Botox, use more Juvederm, and incentivize them and excite them. And I said, well, what if I used this a similar format, a platform to get people to learn about, care about, and act for children in foster care. And so during that maternity leave, I built One Simple Wish. My husband and I took $10,000 of our own money and invested it in the platform, hired a developer. My best friend acted as our creative director. She still does to this day. And we launched it in, we incorporated in August of 2008. We launched in December of 2008. So, and it was just local. It was just New Jersey. And it was amazing. Just the response was great. People loved it. People loved that they could see actual stories of children with needs and feel specific needs for specific kids, as opposed to just kind of writing a check and hoping it goes to a good place. So that's how it started. That was a really long story.
No, I love the background, and I love, I mean, you can tell it evolved out of a desire. Like, I think on one interview I watched, you said you were meant to do this. So I call it getting struck by lightning. Like, you found your calling in life, your purpose, and I want to share all the other wonderful things you're doing and how people get involved in all that, but we've got to take a quick commercial break.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Good Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon and Chamber Radio. We are on Facebook Live today, so you can look it up on Happy to Help or at Happy Hunterdon. And I think we're also simulcasting on One Simple Wish. They're also on Facebook. And maybe we should do a quick shout out on the website is onesimplewish.org, and then you're on Instagram and Facebook and all that stuff. So plenty. Yeah. So when I was surfing the website before the show, there's 500,000 kids spend time in foster care each year, right?
Yes.
And 100,000 are available for adoption.
Yeah, typically, over
100,000. Yes. And there's 22,000 of those age out of the system. So you help all from soup to nuts. You help all of them, whether they're just entering or they're even out of foster, out of whatever traditional foster care, right?
Yes. No age limit. It's one of the things that makes us pretty unique is young people can come to us at any age. So anytime a person has spent time in foster care, they become eligible to use One Simple Wish as a resource. And so you'll see wishes on our site for, 25, 26, 27 year olds.
Yeah. And even if they want something bigger or more of a big ticket item, you let people donate a portion. So you don't have to grant the whole wish. If you just say, oh, this is a great, cool wish, but I don't have $5,000 to get. Or, well, I mean, yeah. I don't know. What's the range of the?
Anything over $500, we consider a big wish.
Okay.
And we will crowdsource for that, usually through Facebook. And we'll do several of those in a day. And those are the things that people want to do them, but they can do a piece of it. And so we put them up as a post on Facebook, and people can donate directly there. And the cool thing is Facebook covers all the fees, so 100% of the donation goes to the wish.
Yeah, nice.
And that's been awesome. We've gotten cars for young people. We just did yesterday. A young girl paid off her nursing school certification debt.
Wow.
To allow her to just jump right in and get to work. We helped a young man get his citizenship, which was really cool. He entered foster care late in his teen years. Mom was in a deportation center. Father was missing and was couch surfing, was homeless, and put him in foster care. He's since been working, going to college, really amazing kid, and wants to become a U.S. citizen. It was a $795 fee to get all the paperwork together, and so we were able to crowdfund for that. So, yeah, the wishes on the Facebook page are really cool, and it's awesome because you can just kind of immediately get involved in something that's real and specific.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a cool following of people on Facebook that support our kids and they're any age.
Right. And I love that you can, with everything you do, you can make a personal connection. So even if people want to get their kids involved, they can buy a $10 stuffed animal for another child, right? So the kids, I mean, if you just want to get involved with a small donation first and surf the website for all these wishes, then they're very personal, right? Which
right.
is what
every
your goal.
Is, yeah, yeah, every wish is for a specific child, and they start at about $9, $10, and they go up to $500, the ones that are on onesimplewish.org. And you can sort by, how much you want to spend. And we tell people, there's a chat feature on the site. So if you find a wish and you're thinking, I'd like to grant this, but I can't do all of it, our team will work with you. They'll break it up. They'll put up a smaller portion so you can do that. And then, we encourage people, bring your kids on, especially around their own birthdays or their own milestone events, to show them. We have lots of parents who say, okay, for your birthday, I'm going to buy you a present and you're going to pick out a present for another child. And so you go, you put the parameters in, and then you let the child, or you read to the child what the other kids are asking for, and you let them choose. And I feel like it's a really nice way for them to connect to kids their own age and understand the need without also exploiting kids who are in need. And that's a big thing I'm so against. So okay. I don't like putting anyone in need on display.
Right.
And our site is very cool because there's not pictures of our kids unless we've been given explicit permission, or it's an adult, an older person who's experienced care. We feel like, that's your story to tell when you want to tell it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
We don't do a lot of the look at this kid. A lot of the photos we use are stock, which we are clear about, on Facebook. But I think that's really important that we remember, giving should be genuinely because you want to help somebody, not because you want something in return.
Right, and I think it's a good way. I grew up in a family of volunteered, and I try and instill that in my children, and I think it's a good intro way for little kids, because they're just kids, and they just want to, they see another kid, and hey, yeah, I'll help out this kid out, and they don't have to know all the bigger issues around why and all that stuff. It's just a very simple intro into give something for the goodness of giving and give from your heart.
So. Yeah, it's really the basis of who we are. I mean, One Simple Wish, we're all about, we always say love, hope, and joy. And sometimes, and this happened more early on than it does now, but people, when I started the organization, people in the business world that, you know, my colleagues, you know, a few of them said to me, well, it's just stuff. You're just giving kids stuff. And I was like, it is not stuff. I mean, when you think back to your own childhood and the moments and the things that meant something to you, that left a mark on you, a lot of them definitely had to do with things that you received that became part of your life, whether it was a soccer ball that kind of turned you on to your favorite sport, a bike that you would ride around the neighborhood with your friends, you know, the super cool pair of shoes that you'd been dreaming about forever. You know, so I feel like that's what we're doing, is we're giving kids those childhood experiences that, you know, carry with them so much more than the item itself. And that's something that I think, you know, you can't talk too soon to a child about the importance overall of just happiness. That isn't of itself enough. Nonprofits get drilled for things like impact and measurement. And anytime a foundation pulls that crap with us, I'm just like, we're not even going to apply. Because you know what? There's enough great individuals in the world that I don't need to spend like 45 hours writing a grant for $5,000 and proving to you this matters. I think that's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous ask. So anytime foundations do things like that to us, we just say like, thanks, but no thanks. We'll go to the people. And people are wonderful.
Right. And that what I've told people this, or I believe this, that, you know, yeah, social media is great for getting your word out and getting things blasted into the stratosphere and things. But you still have to make connections on a human level.
Yeah.
You still have to have that personal interaction, whether you're going to seminars or going to different things. And then I think you have, can you tell us a little bit about, well, I'm sorry, I'm all over the place here. But what I did want to talk about too is that your conviction and determination to make this happen. So it came from the heart. You invested your own money and you made it happen and brought it to life. And then you said the first 4 years were a little bit slow, but then things took off in 2012. So tell us about the initial 4 years and then how it expanded from there.
Yeah. So it started in my house. It was like this little office in our bedroom that I ran One Simple Wish out of while still working full time with two babies. And when I think back to that time, I'm like, I don't really remember it being overly stressful. And I feel like that's a sign. My stomach's growling, sorry. I don't know if that picked up. That's a sign to me that, like, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, because the chaos of life doesn't feel stressful. It actually feels exciting. And for me, yes, it was, you know, physically a little exhausting. I also got diagnosed with a pretty serious immune deficiency, which requires me to give myself infusions of immunoglobulins weekly, which I still do today.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was tough because I got really sick for a while. But I think that, like, finding this passion is what helped kind of carry me through all of that, raising the babies, this very busy job, the foundation. Having something that I was so in love with really kept me focused. So for the 4 years, we did grow kind of slowly into other states, but not many. And then in 2012, a young guy who wrote for the Times of Trenton, I don't know what they call it now. It used to be the Trenton Times. I think it's called the Times of Trenton now. Anyway, he was a freelance writer. He had done a piece on us, a local piece before, and he said, I'm pitching a story to the Christian Science Monitor for their section called Changemakers. I'd like to write about you. What do you think? And I was like, is that a religious magazine? And he was like, no. And I was like, they should change their name.
Well, I get the same.
It's a great magazine,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
So I ended up agreeing to that interview. It came out on my daughter Mia's birthday on September 14th, 2012. And a couple of days later, I was in Baltimore with my husband. He was on a business trip, and I took the girls. And I got a phone call from a producer for NBC Nightly News, and he said, you know, we want to do your story for Nightly News with Brian Williams. And I was like, are you kidding me? I was sitting in the Inner Harbor with my daughters. Like, I have pictures from that day. And I'm like, this is crazy. And that was really what – so that article – which sparked that interest from NBC is really just what took off. So we were doing about $75,000 a year by this point. We did over $200,000 the month after that piece aired. So we were like, oh my God, like we ran out of wishes.
Oh, good.
We had to get new partners. Yeah. And so what was very cool is it enabled us to reach out to more community partners, which is how we get the wishes. So agencies throughout the country sign up with us for free. They represent the children. They submit the wishes. So we were able to go to so many other areas, especially rural areas, and say, okay, what do your kids need? What do they want? What's going to bring them joy? And we got them up on the site, and then it was like, from that point forward, we really started to grow a lot. It became a CNN, top 10 CNN hero in 2013. Mm-hmm. I got to look at Anderson Cooper and right in his beautiful blue eyes. Oh, my God. It was like,
I know, he's serious.
Oh, my God. He introduced himself to me, which I thought was the funniest thing ever. I'm sitting in a chair backstage, like, getting ready to go up, and he's like, oh, excuse me, and I turned around, and he was like, oh, hey, I'm Anderson. And I was like, I know. And he was so good looking. It just blew me away. I'm like,
so the TV doesn't know him justice.
Yeah, no. And he went to shake my hand, and I think I attacked him. I jumped on him, snuggled him real tight, and I was like, I love you. And so he was super, oh my God, just so, so wonderful. And then since then, we've done all of this really cool TV. We've done The Real. I've met we were on Katie Couric's show. She was another one who was so much nicer than I expected, because after doing this for a while, I started meeting a lot of people in the media industry, and not everyone had great things to say about her. And I was like, she's super nice. I think tough women sometimes get a bad rap.
Yeah, she's also a big supporter of Room to Read. I've been Room to Read events where she's been there. Yeah,
she was fantastic. She had just gotten engaged when I met her, and I was like, congratulations, and can I have that? Like, giant ring. She was lovely. We did Harry Connick Jr.
Oh, I saw that one, yeah.
Which was
another, he's adorable, like, too, right?
Oh, yeah. My goodness. I don't very often run out of things to say or, like, lose my train of thought. I got on there, and the second question he asked me, they actually cut it out of the show. I have no idea what I said. All I know is he looked at me, and again, with the eyes, they're like the craziest eyes, and said, like, when I think of extraordinary women, like, you're the person who comes to mind. And I just, like, lost it. My husband's is there, by the way.
I know, right?
But I was already a fan. Like, right. One of his songs was our wedding song.
Oh, wow.
So I totally lost it. I'm like, why am I here? Are we on a date?
It's
so crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was amazing. So all of that media, thankfully, has brought so many people to our platform. And our supporters are just the best. They get it. They get that life is about, you know, you're one shot. Make it happy. Give back. Do good. There's a lot of lucky, blessed, fortunate, however you want to describe them, people in this world. And, you know, if you can make somebody else's day, I feel like, why wouldn't you? It's sometimes the only way to make your own day.
Right. And like you said, it's not just stuff. A wish represents so much more.
Yeah.
It represents happiness, opportunity.
Connection.
Yeah.
Human, when you think about a child making a wish for something like gymnastics lessons, you're not just giving them the lessons. You're giving them teammates. You're giving them a coach. You're giving them habit, commitment, exercise. So there's so many things sort of wrapped up in that one wish that, you know, we don't get it as much anymore where people think it's stuff, mm-hmm. but I challenge people to think more about your own stuff, mm-hmm. and what it brings for you. And, you know, I know everyone's into, like, this, is it Marie Kondo or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what sparks joy?
Yeah.
Right? I feel like that's kind of the essence of us is sparking joy, mm-hmm. and the things that the kids are asking for are there to spark their joy. And these kids, we haven't, you know, touched too much on this, but these kids have been through trauma that for most of us is completely unimaginable.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
Heartbreak and abuse. And I don't just mean when they were home. I mean afterwards. You know, you go through life for, you know, if you're fortunate, with people who love you unconditionally. Mm-hmm. Nobody gives you back. Nobody says you're too much to handle. Or if they do, it's lovingly.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody abandons you. Nobody forgets to feed you. You don't sit at your graduation and look out in the crowd and have nobody clapping for you. Mm. These are the things that our young people endure and survive and grow from. They are brave, resilient, gritty. Like, those are my people. I love our kids and our young adults. I connect with so many of them, especially through social media. And I have to say, like, it's what they have been through puts every minor bunch of nonsense in your own mind in perspective. And that's not what they're there for. Like, let's all remember, people struggling don't exist to make us feel better. You know, and I think, sadly, sometimes we do that, right? We, like, look to the worst case scenario and say, well, at least it's not that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we should respect the struggles that these young people have had and the fact that they've chosen to not let that define them. Mm-hmm. And then we should do what we can to keep carrying them along. And also, you know, learn from them. Their resilience every day inspires me to keep working hard on the days where my condition makes me too tired to get out of bed, or, you know, we're down in our revenue and I have to make up a big deficit and I only have 4 days. I just think of these young people and I say, like, I'm fighting for them. They're worth it. And none of my small sort of hurdles are insurmountable. And that's what propels me.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I think you've talked about this before, that it's just the mere fact of someone cares enough to grant that wish. Just the fact that someone saw my post, saw my wish, and cared enough to give it unconditionally without even knowing me. And then the person on the other end loves the connection. Like, I made a difference in somebody's life. Yeah. So I think that it's just, the model is just tremendous. And there's other things you do, too, with the... you have the, what is it called, the Love My Bags. I always talk about scouts on this show, and there's a Boy Scout in Texas that is doing stuff with the Love My Bags, or is that something else?
Okay. Well, there's two different young men who do awesome
Day
things
One Bags.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have Hunter Beaton, who is a teen in Texas, who I've met probably 3 or 4 years ago. I mean, this kid is like the definition of a good kid. I mean, he blows me away. Like, I was so not that kid. He's kind. He's respectful. He's like just this amazing human. His mother is lovely. His siblings were adopted from foster care. They came into the system with next to nothing, so very similar to our story. And he decided as his Eagle Scout project years ago that he was going to create these bags, these Day One Bag program that would allow young people to have a big duffel bag. So that when they came into care, they'd have everything they needed. And he ended up, like, starting with, you know, I'll do a couple hundred, and he did, like, 10,000.
Wow.
So we partnered up with him. We've been supporting him or his efforts ever since. He's now, I think, distributed over 20 countries.
Wow.
20 countries. 20 states.
Okay, sorry. I'm like,
you're like, wow, that is impressive. Get him on this show.
No, so
Hunter's awesome. And then we've got Wilson, who's another extraordinary young person in North Carolina. Wilson had a super cool idea of designing, along with his mom and his grandma, which I just love, these cinch bags that they got excess fabric from a furniture store. So very cool fabric. They stitched them into cinch bags. We put a little tag on them that says Love By, and inside has a Love By note.
Wow.
Which can be written by volunteers. You can go to our website, download that note, and you can send them to us, and we'll put them in the bags. Wilson sells them on an Etsy store. He donates 100% of his profit to Granting Wishes, and for every bag he sells, he gives us a bag to give to a child.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's raised over $25,000.
Wow.
I mean, he's another one who's just like, you look at these young people and you say, how is it that you're this young and doing this much? And it's pretty extraordinary. So both Wilson and Hunter, also super cool names, have really been another, you know, source of inspiration. Kids, man, they're, you know, millennials get, well, I don't even know that they're millennials. They're like the younger than millennials. But they get a bad rap. But, you know, I think this is a more socially conscious generation than my generation was.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more involved in their fellow community members. You know, they really feel like they should be giving back. And I think for all of the things you could say about the phone and the texting and whatever, I love the passion for, like, reaching out and helping other people. I love that, you know, there seems to be more of a feeling that we are all in this together.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Hunter, Wilson, young people like that, they're amazing. And on our website, if you click on Help a Child at the top, you can read about more about both their programs and how to support their two programs.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I think the rise of social media, for all the bad that it brings and too much screen time and people complain, it has put brought to the forefront all these causes that, you know, and then people can scroll and say, oh, hey, this speaks to me. I want to help. And this, you know, and they figure out a way to do it. So yeah. Every coin has two sides, or however you want to say it. But no, I think that's great. And I mean, you've got support from Subaru, TJ Maxx, Disney, Volkswagen. Like, yeah, I mean, you're just
Wells Fargo. I got to name them because they're like our biggest.
Okay.
I love them.
Good. Well, they need some PR help, right?
Some good stuff. I swear they're not going to give me more money for saying that. But no, I have to say, all of our mortgages are with Wells Fargo, so we've been happy Wells Fargo customers privately, so full disclosure. But they have been one of the corporations, and I know that they have had significant issues in our country. They have been one of the supporters that supported us in the beginning, supported us big in the beginning, and have stood by us, and are the kind of supporter that I can call them, talk through what we're dealing with, and they're super responsive. They're one of those foundations that, yes, they want measurement. Yes, they want to know you have impact, but they also recognize and appreciate the burden on nonprofits that doesn't necessarily exist in large corporations. And the way I kind of like try to explain it to people is, you know, we have people that come to us often and will say things like, I want to donate, but I don't want it to go to anything but...
Oh,
the
item. Yeah.
I don't want it to go to your salary. And yeah. Like, super offensive, right? And I say, imagine that you went into Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts, wherever, and you said to them, like, I want a cup of coffee. And they say, great, that's $2.95. And you say, no, I just want to pay for the coffee, just the beans and the water, not the cup, not the marketing, not the HR, not your insurance, certainly not your salary person who just made me my coffee. So it's like, we do have value as humans who work for these causes. And Wells Fargo has been one of those organizations that's never made us sort of just overly justify that. Mm-hmm. They've come to us and said, what do you need to make your program successful? And I love that. You know, same thing with Volkswagen. Volkswagen was one of our very first large corporate supporters, like well-known, I should say. Mm-hmm. And they've been with us for, I think, 8 or 9 years. Nice. And same thing. They support us because they believe in the work that we're doing. And I just think it's extraordinary when larger corporations who recognize they have the resources do support nonprofits in a way that allows us to do our work too.
Right, and they don't want to micromanage you. But I mean, I do understand because there are so many. I think there's millions of dollars that goes out every year to phony cancer research and breast cancer research organizations. So you have to do your homework.
People have to do their homework. Go to GuideStar. I tell people all the time, GuideStar.org is a free service. Again, we get nothing from them. This is
I know GuideStar.
They're amazing. You can go there, you put in the charity, and download the 990s. And I tell people, 990s aren't that hard to read, right? Most 990s are pretty simple. And if you don't know how to read them, Google, what should I be looking at in a 990? Mm-hmm. And you want to look at things like, how much money is coming in government grants? How much money is going out in salaries? And I'm not saying salaries are bad. People should be paid. But you might think twice about giving to an organization that has a significant amount of money paying fundraisers, because that means most of the money that's paying a fundraiser isn't going to actually doing any work. It's paying somebody to raise money, right?
So yeah, but it depends. Like, you know, any other profession, a good fundraiser is worth their weight in gold, right? Yeah.
Right. So. Oh, I'm not talking about a staff fundraiser. Okay. I'm talking about a paid fundraising service. So there's a lot of nonprofits. Yeah. There's actually one that was that they did a whole piece on CNN called, I think it was called Kids Wish Network or something. And basically what they would do is they would call people to chip in for these wishes, and people would do it, but the wishes were already paid for by somebody else. And so they were taking that money and paying the caller. So like when you were donating to the caller, you were essentially just paying that caller.
We got to be aware of callers, period.
Yeah. And again, like I said, there's 990s have a lot of good information. I'm not saying take it at face value, but do your research, talk to people, call the charity and talk to them. But you know, I would say don't ask the simplistic question of how much goes to programs and how much goes to fundraising, because it's an arbitrary determination made by the nonprofit. So it doesn't even mean what you think it means. And these are just kind of things I learned in the last 10 years of doing
this. Well, I tell people, just go with your gut. Like, so having you here today, talk about, you can tell that it's not your, you know, something you're doing to try and get rich, or you're trying to get, So, well, yeah, and you're not doing it for fame and fortune, and obviously, so you're authentic. So that's why I try to have people on the show that are doing things because it matters to them, and there's plenty of them out there that you, but you just have to, but go to a local event. So you've got a local event coming up, Cinco de Mayo, something. Yes. Tell us about that.
So we have these events called Wishful Drinking Events, which are, you don't have to drink at them, and they are kid friendly. But we're having one at Landmark in Ewing on Cinco de Mayo. It'll be all day long, so people can come and go.
Nice.
There'll be tons of prizes. Tito's is going to be sponsoring it. And
yum, yum.
Right? Doing
some Tito's burritos.
Stuff. We're also doing... we'll also have my other foundation there in Trenton Animal
Park. Oh, yeah. I know. So, this woman isn't doing enough. So last year she started a new foundation. And tell us about that.
For dogs, yeah.
Okay. Oh. Well, there's a lot of animal lovers out there. So, okay. Trenton Animals Rock.
Yeah.
Tell us about
Trenton Animals Rock. Similar, like, kind of spun from this, like, dogs don't have voices. Kind of like kids, you know. Who's advocating for shelter dogs? And, yes, I know there are people advocating for shelter dogs.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, you know, they don't have... the same like warrior mom kind of thing that's like fighting for you. And when I learned what was going on at the Trenton Animal Shelter, that they were so understaffed and under-resourced, and how many dogs were not receiving medical care or being euthanized for medical problems that could be resolved if there was more money. And I don't blame them for that. I mean, the ACOs that I've met at the Trenton Animal Shelter are friends. I adore them. They are warm-hearted, animal-loving people. They're not
ACO
like
is what?
The animal control officers. Okay. They're not like running around like looking to kill animals. I mean,
they're with their net,
right? They're dog catching net. They're people, you know. And so when I learned that they were lacking resources, I said, "Well, I started a charity before. I'll start another one." And so I connected with some of their volunteers. We formed an initial board of directors and launched Trenton Animals Rock in June. We've since saved dozens of animals. We've done everything from, you know, surgeries to fixing broken limbs to rescuing dogs that were going to be euthanized and getting them training so they could be adoptable. And it's awesome. I mean, kids and dogs, like,
right?
What's more, you know, what's more wonderful and fun to be around than kids and dogs?
Right.
It is for cats too, but we do mostly with dogs.
Right. And I mean, and the good thing is there is a movement, because someone was saying they got their dog from a pet store, or I mean, it's almost not cool to get it from a breeder or a pet store anymore. You have to get a rescue dog.
Please don't buy dogs. Yeah.
Right.
There's so many amazing dogs at the shelter every single day. There's young dogs, there's older dogs, there's chill dogs, there's energetic dogs, there's puppies. They're not all pits, but even if they are pits, and I'm cool with calling them pits. I know there's some weird
what
movement.
Is it? What's a pit?
A like, pit bull.
Oh,
but
okay.
People have like a weird other name for them, like a pibble or something.
I have
no
idea.
It's supposed to make them sound like softer.
Oh.
I don't like it. I have a pit. She rocks. I'm like,
Oh my gosh.
I don't know if you're a George Carlin fan, but like, I grew up listening, he's a comedian.
Yeah.
Grew up listening to him, and he had this whole thing about the softening of words and how sometimes that actually makes things worse. And to me, it's the same thing, even the word orphan. So we stopped saying orphan. And now we have 114,000 kids who are orphans. And we don't say orphan because we think orphan's offensive. But it is driving home the very real thing that exists, which are children that do not have parents, that do not have a parent, that are legally free wards of the state. That isn't okay.
Right.
And I think sometimes when we try to be too politically correct, we end up making a conversation a different conversation. Like pit bulls, raise them right. They're amazing dogs. My pit sleeps on my chest, cuddles my neck. She's a love.
Yeah.
Yes, you raise a dog to fight, it's going to be a brutal animal. It may not, you may be able to rehab it. Absolutely. But I think we should be careful when we have these conversations about just deciding based on a word that that something is or isn't, you know? That was total tangent.
No, that's right. Well, I had the same thing when someone a few years ago, they said, well, are you a feminist? And I'm like, well, you know, that word evokes so much emotion from different people. They're like, they immediately hate you if you say that you are, and I was like, well, that word has a lot of connotations. And so I don't know, you know, I mean, and for different people, like orphan is orphan. Like you basically know what that is, but like certain other politically charged words, I'm like, that's not who I'm talking to. But
so you almost, I think it is true in general. We decide, I had a post one day on Instagram that I put up, and it was a picture of a bucket. And it was a list of things you should put in a bucket. And it was like sand, I don't know, hay, apples. And it was like things you shouldn't. People. We have to stop, right? Deciding.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Well, if you're for this, you must be against this.
Yeah.
If you're a feminist, then you must be this.
Yeah.
It's
you must,
like,
yeah.
talk to human beings. We're all so multi-layered and nuanced and interesting and weird. And just because you feel one way about one thing doesn't necessarily make you something or make you something else. And I think, you know, the great thing about the work that we've been doing both with One Simple Wish and Trenton Animals Rock is that we've taken all of the political kind of nonsense out of it. If you truly believe that everybody deserves some joy in their lives, that happiness isn't something that, you know, that children should go without, that you feel that trauma is wrong, trauma and abuse are things that children, if they've endured them, should be able to heal from, great. We're all on the same page there. I don't care who you voted for. I don't care who you're going to vote for. I don't care how you feel about, you know, I don't care if you're a feminist or not. Like, I want you to feel for these human children and do your part. And that, I think, it doesn't matter what political party you're
right. And I say this all the time. It's basically, we're meant to help each other. It's in our DNA. We're put on this planet to help one another, whether it's someone local or if it's someone halfway across the globe, like I do with Room to Read. It's, you're helping other human beings flourish and have opportunities and reach their full potential and experience joy. So we have to do a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. The traffic is stuck. Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. 100 in Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And you're back with Happy to Help on 100 in Chamber Radio. Today we're talking with Danielle Glido. She's the founder of One Simple Wish. You can check us out on Facebook on Happy to Help. One Simple Wish is on Facebook and Instagram and all social media. And we're going to talk about how you can volunteer or donate or help with this organization via a wish party. What's a wish party?
Wish parties are super fun. We do wish parties all over the country. Primarily, we do them at holiday time, but we do have one coming up at the end of this month in Long Branch, New Jersey. They are events that we bring young people who are currently in the foster care system to. They come, they have yummy food and snacks. We do crafts. We usually have either a DJ or some kind of entertainment. It's an opportunity for us as an organization to make sure the young people know that our resources are available to them. So we tell them, you know, about One Simple Wish. Prior to the event, they have made a wish, which then they're surprised with when they get there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we call them up by name. They get their wrapped gift. They get to, you know, I mean, it's not a total surprise because they asked for it. But,
right,
but getting it is a surprise.
Yeah, it's just a fanfare.
Yeah, so we need volunteers for those. So people can email us, and children can come. And we encourage parents to bring their children to these events of any age. Of course, like, probably not a one-year-old. I mean, you can, but I don't know how much you're going to get out of it. You're probably going to be exhausted. But, you know, we tell people if you're, you know, five and up is usually a good age. We have, or around the holidays, we do them in New Jersey, New York, and Los Angeles. We do a huge one with Disney in L.A. We do one with Disney in New York. We do a big one here in New Jersey, both in Central and South Jersey. Hopefully this year we'll also do North Jersey. So those are all things that we need dozens and dozens of volunteers. It's a good corporate activity. So are the Love by Notes. As I, you know, we kind of briefly mentioned, when people go to the website, they can click on the Help a Child button on the top, and then it'll bring them to a section that says Volunteer. That's where they'll talk more about wish parties. You can inquire about those, and you can also download the Loved by Note, which can be done at home. You can do it with your company. That's a pretty cool way for you to kind of just send a message of encouragement to our young people. And we send them out to people, to tens of thousands. So each year we help between 10 and 20,000 young people, over 65,000 to date. So we've got a lot of ground to cover, and we're just getting started. You know, with nearly 500,000 kids or more spending time in foster care every year, we want every one of them that needs us to know we're a resource. So those Love by Notes are really helpful because we can hand them to agencies, and then they give them to them, and then they can say, and this came from One Simple Wish, and then the kids can know, oh, wow, I can ask for that thing or that experience that I wanted that I didn't know was within reach. So those are the two, like, best ways. Of course, granting a wish is super important. And people can do that in creative ways. We have Rider University, actually this Saturday, is doing something called One Simple Kick, where people can create a kickball team, and it's $5 a person. You create your kickball team and you compete, and they have prizes and food and games, and they're raising money for One Simple Wish. We had Parsippany Hills and Parsippany High School did a basketball tournament.
Fine.
To raise money. They raised $1,300. Ben and Jerry's yesterday raised over $1,300 for us with free cone day. So I tell people, like, get creative, you know.
Yeah.
You can choose to either just give us the money, or you can go on the website with the money you raise and grant wishes. But there's so many fun ways.
Yeah.
It's such a happy cause. And yeah, you mentioned the illustrations. I think that's...
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, yeah, go look on the website just because the illustrations are amazing. So we just don't have any more time to talk about... We need to book you again, basically, so we'll do that. But
You can bring on a young person. We should totally do that.
Okay, absolutely.
A wish recipient.
Okay, that's perfect. So thank you so much, Danielle. Go to the website, onesimplewish.org, grant a wish, and I know they get tons of attention in the holidays, but kids need wishes all year long.
Yes, especially summertime, summer camp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A close election, but Benjamin Netanyahu appears to have been reelected as Prime Minister of Israel for a record fifth term. His conservative party will apparently control a majority in Israel's parliament. President Trump commenting on the news as he left the White House for Texas a short time ago.
He's been a great ally, and he's a friend. I'd like to congratulate him. That was a well thought out race.
The president heading to Texas, where he'll be promoting American energy. He'll stop in the Houston area and is expected to unveil executive orders aimed at expanding U.S. oil and natural gas production. He's also going to headline Republican fundraisers in Houston and San Antonio. NASA just releasing the first ever picture of a black hole. Images taken in April 2017 by the Event Horizon Telescope. And this is USA Radio News.
Hey guys, Ken here from the hit podcast, Today's Growth. Who would win a 3-mile bicycle race, an 11-year-old girl or last year's winner of the Tour de France? It all depends on the bicycle. It depends on their vehicle. Both on a 10-speed and the pro racer is going to win every time. But put the racer on a tricycle and the 11-year-old wins every time. You see, it's not the driver, it's the vehicle. When it comes to generating revenue, it's exactly the same. If you have a job or a small business, you are riding a tricycle. You can only go so fast. If you need to make up lost ground, it's not going to happen on a tricycle. No matter how fast you pedal, it's simply not going to win the race. Why do many people with no schooling and no advanced degree often become very wealthy? Simple. They choose to only ride 10 speeds. When it comes to helping people create their next revenue model, both Forbes and Inc. recommend Income Store as a can't-miss when it comes to putting people on a 10-speed. Could your household or business use an additional revenue model that doesn't solely depend on you? If so, you need to check out IncomeStore.com. That's IncomeStore.com.
The European Union will grant the Brexit delay that British Prime Minister Theresa May has been asking for, but EU leaders are expected to demand a longer extension and other conditions. The 27 leaders of the trading bloc expected to sign off on the delay today. Attorney General William Barr testifies at a House hearing yesterday that he will release the full Mueller report on the Russia probe in redacted form within about a week. Here's more from USA Radio's Wendy King.
I am relying on my own discretion to make as much public as I can.
Appropriations Committee Chair New York Democrat Nita Lowey told Barr she was taken back with his initial release of just 4 pages of highlights from a nearly 400-page report.
And I think the Attorney General just stonewalled us.
Barr says he has no intention of releasing classified information or information related to the grand jury.
You can find us online anytime at usaradio.com.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go.